As a woman, chaste and self-assured in virtue, hearing of another's fault, flushes with shame, so I saw my adored Beatrice change semblance in the same assault of anger. Just so, all white light was spent, I do believe, when heaven looked down upon the agony of the omnipotent and went into eclipse. Their joy was gone. Peter continued in an altered voice to match his altered looks. Our holy church, the bride of Christ, was nurtured in the choice of martyrdom by men who did not search for gold. Linus and Cletus shed their tears and blood to gain this life, and there were more, Sixtus and Pius in those early years, Urban, Calixtus, all our noble store of saints, of whom none meant that there should sit on our successor's right hand just one part of Christ's flock, or that he should find it fit to place the rest by his diversive art on his left hand, Guelph split from Ghibelline, nor that the keys that were consigned to me should be his battle standard, meant to mean his war on the Colonna just might be a holy one, though they were Christians all. Nor that my head, carved on the papal seal, should lend prestige to an indulgent stall, as if I gave men leave to cheat and steal, for which I often turn red and flash fire. From here above I see the ravening wolves dressed as shepherds hunt at their desire through all the pastures. Why? Why do you cling to sleep, dear heavenly defence? Two popes, Clement of Gascony, John of Cahors, would drink our blood. Ah, founder of our hopes and fair beginnings, tell me for what cause you fall so far to such a paltry end. Yet Providence, which gave us Scipio to conquer Hannibal and so extend Rome's glory to the world, will soon, I know, bring help. And you, my son, when you return to your mortality down there below, must tell them of the rage with which I burn. I show it, so should you. Just as our air in winter, with the sun in Capricorn, is flaked with frozen vapours, so up there I saw but falling upwards. Flakes adorn the ether in their triumph, all of those who had been with us, and I watched them climb, until the distance brought it to a close, that sight, though I had watched them all the time, and not once looked away. My lady then, seeing me freed from gazing up, said, Cast your sight down now. Look at your path again, and see how far you've travelled since the last time that you looked. I saw how, since then, I had moved through all the arc, Jerusalem to Spain, swept by the stars of Gemini, so there beyond Cadiz glittered the hem of ocean on which, sailing out to die, Ulysses in his madness stitched his track, and over there the sun had set on Crete, where Jupiter the bull took on his back Europa as a burden fair and sweet. All this I saw, and might have seen yet more, but underneath my feet the sun did not stand still. Across that little threshing floor the eastern edge moved west, the bright and hot becoming dark and cool. The loving mind that woos my lady always without cease was burning to have my eyes reassigned again to her, the object of release for all my joy. If nature ever made, in human flesh, or art and portraiture, baits for the eyes so that the mind be swayed until possessed, all those together were as nothing when compared to the divine delight that shone upon me when I turned to see her smiling face look into mine with holy grace. The impulse that I earned from that glance pulled me free from the fair nest of Leda, mother of the twins, and sent me straight to where there spun without a rest that heaven whose sheer speed is never spent, the crystalline, the sphere that sets the test for all the others. High or low, its parts are so alike I couldn't tell which one she chose to put me in, but with her arts of divination, how my thoughts had run was plain to her. With God's joy in her face, she smiled and spoke. From here the universe begins, unmoving only in this place, the launching point from which the rays disperse of love, which the divine mind has instilled just here. Only from here the sweet rain falls of virtue, A still center he has willed, and light and love encircles he installs around it, as it does with lesser spheres. But of this one's sphere's girdling, only he is the intelligence. The light, the years, the spin of all the others come to be by measure from this one, as 2 and 5 come out of 10. And how time has its roots in this one's plot, and theirs can come alive, only as leaves because it puts out shoots might now be clear to you. Covetousness! You plunge the mortals so deep that none has the power to lift his drowned eyes. Nonetheless, will blossoms within men, but even as it does like sound plums in unending rain, they wither. Faith and innocence are found only in little children, and remain only while cheeks are bare. Both things are bound to flee. For one who lisps may keep the fasts, but when his tongue is free, eats everything in any month. That first pledge never lasts. Another, lisping too, will gladly bring love to his mother, lend her views respect, but when his speech is perfect, he will ache to see her buried. Just so the unflecked white skin of innocence is sure to take a dark tone at the first sight of the sun's fair daughter Circe, she that represents the pleasures of the world. Since no one runs the earth, to be astonished makes no sense. The human family strays. But even though, because our calendar has made the year too long by an hour's quarter, as you know, and January must gradually appear a little later in the season still before it shifts completely, call the span less than 1,000 years, for sure there will be such a shining on the world of man from these realms on the heights that the event so long awaited must turn all the ships from prow to stern, the fleet again be sent on its true course, and flowers the bee sips will be succeeded by good fruit, as they should be. Not now, but soon, somehow, some day. Canto 28. The truth about the life poor mortals lead today had been expounded by the one who turns my mind to paradise. I need say only how, after the thing was done, I was like someone who, lit from behind, can see, before he thinks, a torch's flame there in the mirror, and turns round to find, if glass tells truth, and finds both flames the same, agreeing with each other like a song with its own measure. So my memory records. I did then, gazing deep and long once more into the fair eyes that for me were love's noose, fashioned for my capture. Then I turned again. And my eyes were met by what must appear to the observer when he looks hard at the spinning in the sky of the sphere. There I saw a point that so streamed sharp light that the eyes on which it burns must close, pierced by its force. No star we know, even the least from which our sight returns, but would not seem a moon if put beside that brilliant point like star with star combined. And as a halo closely will abide with that light which supplies it but refined through air most dense, so maybe just as near, about this point a fiery circle wheeled, so fast that even the most rapid sphere which girds the world would have been forced to yield the palm for speed. The primum mobile, I mean, was slow compared to this, and this was circled by another the same way, and then both by a third. Analysis revealed a fourth and fifth, and then 2 more, the 7th spreading so wide that Iris, the rainbow, Juno's herald, would be sore put to contain it even if complete. And then there were 2 more again. Yes, 9, all told, and each in movement the less fleet the more removed it was in this design from that first one, flame clear beyond compare, because I thought less distant from the pure initial spark, and thus with the best share of all the truth it held. Keen but unsure I must have seemed, because my lady said, "The heavens and all nature both depend from that point. No, the inner ring is sped so swiftly by the burning without end of love." And I said, "If the universe were set out in the order that these wheels conform to, then the clean match would disperse my doubts about the scheme your speech reveals as heavenly. But in the world of sense, We can't help seeing that the circles are always the more divine the further hence from our own center, set from near to far the other way around. If my desire may gain its end in this most wonderful temple of angels, love and light on fire its only bounds, then I must hear at all about the reasons that the pattern and its copy do not follow the same plan, since by myself I strive to understand without result. My lady then began, "Nothing to wonder at, that such a knot defies your fingers, since it has grown hard from being left alone." She went on, "What I tell you about next in this regard, you should take, if you would be satisfied, as whetstone for your wit. Material spheres are large and small, according to the tide of virtue, as it spreads out and inheres through all their parts. An excellence more great makes greater blessedness, which in its turn must take a greater body if the state of all its parts, just look and you will learn, is equal in perfection. Thus we see that this sphere, swept along with all the rest of what exists, responds in symmetry at all points to the circle that loves best and knows most. So if you apply your gauge, not to the seeming, but the virtue of the spirits that you still think at this stage are circles, you will see how, here above, each heaven marvelously corresponds with its intelligence, the small with less, the great with more, united by their bonds. Just as the air is cleared of all distress, its vault serene and shining, by the breeze from the northeast, as Boreas puffs his cheek most mild, and yet the thickest fog with ease, he thins and drives away its grip grown weak, until the blue sky smiles on us again with all its lovely pageant. So it was with me, through what my lady granted then. In heaven a star shone, and all because her answer clear, the truth was plain. And when she paused in speech, the circle sparkled just as boiling iron sparkles, and each spark stayed with its fire. And at this point I must have recourse to the Persian patriarch of chess, who asked his king for pay in corn, one grain for the first square, two for the next, four for the third. A hill of seed was born from just one chessboard, and the king was vexed. But all that mighty number would not meet by many thousands this great multitude of lights. From choir to choir I heard the sweet hosanna sung to that fixed point, imbued with power that holds them there and always will, where they have always been. And she then said, aware that deep down I was wondering still, "The first two circles showed you the life led by seraphim and cherubim, held in their course by bonds of love, and therefore sped swiftly to all the likeness they can win to that point. By the measure that their view exalts them, they do so. Beyond these rings the spirit circle that are known to you as thrones of sacred aspect. By three things, therefore, the primal triad is made whole. Know also that they all take great delight in how their vision pierces to the soul of truth, in which all minds enjoy the right to find rest. And from this it may be seen that blessedness comes from the power of sight and not of love which follows. Here I mean that merit, which goodwill and grace beget, measures their vision. That's the process, grade by grade. The second triad to be set and flower in the spring, which has been made eternal, with no ram at night to serve autumn and winter, sings without a pause hosanna, as three ranks pursue their curve in bliss and form the triad. By the laws of hierarchy the next orders come. First the dominions, then the virtues, then the powers. Next to last in this great sum of circles, three times three, one less than ten, and each one by the next in girth surpassed, the principalities revolve, ringed round by the archangels, and not least but last. The angels play their games on holy ground of open sky. And all the orders gaze above, and so prevail below, that all draw and are drawn to God. In early days, when Paul still lived, I'm sure you will recall, his convert Dionysius worked out the plan in every detail, large and small, with zeal presaging what I've talked about, though later Gregory thought otherwise. And when he got here, he was forced to smile at what he'd said by that which met his eyes. But if one mortal saw it well the while he was on earth, there's no cause for surprise. For Paul had told him of it. Paul was here before his death, and saw all this and more of heaven's truth, so he knew how to steer the mind of Dionysius to shore across the sea of doubt. Now what Paul knew, while he yet breathed, is known again by you. Canto 29. When, at the time of our spring equinox, the sun, Apollo, rises in the ram, and the moon, Diana of the lovely locks, is sinking in the scales, when to the gram the two are balanced, so that each one wears the world's horizon for a belt, both west and east, loads that the zenith bears, for just the time between that point of rest and when the two of them change hemisphere, unbalanced from that girdle. Beatrice kept her silence, smiling with her face a sheer cascade of light, and on the point that swept my senses from me, her own gaze was fixed. "I tell," she said, "I don't ask what you ache to hear, for I can see it there unmixed, where all dimensions meet with no mistake, and every time and place is centered. Wrong to think that he might for himself gain good, that cannot be, in short term or in long. Right, though, to think that his great splendor could shine back and say from his eternity, 'I am.' Beyond time and all other bounds, the everlasting love was pleased to be revealed as who he is, one who astounds with all his new loves. Nor did he before lie still and sleeping, as we now might say. Before and after were mere words that bore no meaning, not until he made our day moving upon the waters. Substance, form, both separate and united, then could come to life, three arrows flying in a swarm, from one bow with three strings, a life in sum without flaw. As a ray shines into glass, amber or crystal, so that from the time of its arrival no more time will pass before it is complete, just so the prime threefold creation happened in a flash, sent by its Lord in one burst with no sign of demarcation, one thing with no clash of lesser things or even their outline, whole from the start. And with that there began order, the frame created and ordained for all the angels, summit of the plan which is the universe. From it they gained pure act, and the pure potency was placed lowest, and in between these purities the bond that knows no bounds was interspaced to join them. Your Jerome wrote fantasies about the course of ages that it took to make the angels, the world not made yet. But what I say comes from another book, a truth on many pages firmly set in writing by the scribes whose guiding voice outranks Jerome. I mean the Holy Ghost. Just read it carefully and make your choice, helped by the written source that matters most, although your reason too, to some extent, should see it, for no logic can allow the heavenly movers ever could be meant to wait for their perfection. You now know the where and when of their creation, and on top of those two things you know the how. The three flames of what you would understand are thus already spent. Then, sooner still, than you might count to 20, a small part of that angelic total took ill will to your world, but the rest stayed with this art that you see now, encircled in delight never to leave. The signal for the fall? The accursed pride of him, who in the night you saw imprisoned down there, crushed by all the world's weights. But the angels you see here humbly acknowledge that they had been made by goodness fit, in being kept so near, to know so much, and to the highest grade their virtue was exalted by God's grace and their own merit, so that they have full and firm minds. Nor should you allow a place for doubt, but be convinced immovable on this point. It's a merit to receive such grace, by just as much as the heart stays open to let it in. Only believe my words, and you are at liberty to gaze without my help on this community. But since your schools on earth say that the sort of angels is to have a memory, to understand and will all this is taught, I shall go on, that you might clearly see the truth, which is down there so sadly fraught with ambiguity. Not since the day that they were made glad by God's face, from which nothing is hidden, have they turned away their eyes from it, so nothing new is rich enough to reach their sight. They have no need to recollect the past by any scheme of abstract thought. Down there where men breed and die, while they're awake they only dream, believing they speak truth, or that they lie, but in that second thing's the greater blame and shame. With no one path to codify your thinking, you get caught up in the game of showing off. And even this is born up here, with far less ire than when divine scripture is slighted or misread to spawn perversion. There is never any sign of thought among you of the blood it cost to sow the world with it, or how he earns respect who comes to it with all pride lost. Each flaunts originality, each burns to put in something clever, gaily tossed into the text from which he never learns. The price goes up when preachers add their share of footling comment, and the gospel runs a distant second, silent in despair. One says that at Christ's agony, the sun's light was blocked out because the moon turned back. And others say the light all on its own went into hiding, so the sky turned black from one end to the other of the zone, so Spaniards and Indians as well as Jews were in the dark. Florence has fewer boys with names so many families seem to choose, Lapo and Bindo, than these bags of noise proclaiming from their pulpits cocksure views, year in, year out, the pleasure never cloys, to poor sheep who return from pasture fed on pure wind. That they do not see their loss doesn't excuse the pundits peddling lead for gold. Christ didn't say, "The crowd wants dross, spin them a line," to his first regiment. He gave them a true basis. Nothing less was on their lips than gospel when they went into the world to battle faithlessness. It was their shield and spear. But now they preach with jokes and taunts, and if they get a laugh, their cowls puff up, and if the stuff they teach were not just too much cleverness by half, but all that counts. They bask in the acclaim and ask no more. The devil, that sleek crow, nests in the hood's trail to wrap up his fame, yet if the people saw him, they would know they're trusting in a swindle, from which such folly has grown on earth that they will flock to any promise, and without so much as one hint of a warrant. Thus the stock of hogs that were St. Anthony's wax fat, which once were sacred. Others more swinish still wax fatter, and the coin they pay for that is counterfeit. Pardons exchanged for swill. But we've digressed enough. Time for your eyes to once more meet the straight road, so it may be shortened with the time. Here in the skies these angels number in their vast array, beyond what mortal thought can well devise a figure for, or mortal speech can say. For Daniel spoke of thousands, but could not be definite. 10,000 squared, and then that number cubed, and he just meant a lot more than the mind could hold. Unknown to men, the sum is yours to see. The primal light irradiating all of them is caught by them in many ways, in all the bright splendors from which that central blaze is wrought. Therefore, since the affections follow on from their conception the initial act, love's sweetness, streaming from the paragon, shines variously in them, by that one fact impelled to all the numberless degrees and kinds of brilliance, pinpoint strength unpacked into the myriad intensities of its expression. Look at how it glows. The height, the width of the eternal good. So many mirrors where it breaks and goes on breaking, yet remains the one thing. Could one and the many show more harmony? It stuns you, doesn't it? It still stuns me. Canto 30. 6,000 long miles eastward, it is noon. Here, night is ending. The earth's shadow lies level in bed, and in the mid-sky, soon, deep up above us, to our searching eyes, a change will come. The odd star disappears. The handmaid of the sun approaches. One by one, the sky's lights shut down as she nears, even the loveliest. And it is done. The new day dawns. Exactly in that wise, the triumph that has always been at play around that point, and will be, though time flies forever, the pure point that took away my senses, and which, to the reeling mind, includes that which includes it, bit by bit, retreated from my sight. So, being blind and full of love, there was no help for it. I turned my eyes to her. If all I've said of Beatrice up to now were gathered in one song of praise, it would be left for dead by this task. I scarce know how to begin. Not only is the beauty that I saw beyond our measures, but I do believe only its maker can express the store of joy in it. For me, I can't conceive the first phrase, and I must admit defeat. Comic or tragic, poet never met a point in any theme he chose to treat more dizzying, for as weak sight is set wavering by the sun, the memory of that sweet smile undoes my mind. In all the time from that first day I came to see her face in life to this incredible moment of seeing her again, my song has gone on, but from now I must desist from singing of the beauty that so long has drawn my verse, unable to resist, through many cantos, since the point must come for any artist when his powers give out. Therefore I leave her to a mightier sum of heraldry than mine. The final shout of my poor trumpet falters and falls dumb as its hard theme comes winding to an end. With voice and bearing of a patient guide whose work is done, no hard way left to wend, she said, "We have come through to the far side of heaven's largest realm, to which you lend the name of Primum Mobile, and here we rise into a heaven of pure light, of intellectual light, light full of sheer, pure love, love full of goodness true and right, love full of joy, joy so sweet as to shame all other sweet things else. Here you will know by sight the holy soldiers that you name angels and saints, and those saints will be so as they were in their lives, and thus be the same as they will be when you see them again at the last judgment." Thus, exactly as our visual spirits are soon scattered, when a bolt of lightning strikes, because it has such power, our power to see it is outrun, and even the clearest objects lose their place, just so, a vivid fiery light was spun around me, like a veil that made all space invisible to me, with every one of its particulars eclipsed. "The love that calms this heaven," she continued, "will always so welcome one who comes above, preparing the cold candle thus to fill its cusp with flame." When these brief words arrived in my mind, I was instantly aware of powers within me that had never thrived so much or so far risen through the air. New powers of vision, such that there could be no light, however strongly brought to bear, my eyes could not have borne. And suddenly, I saw light with a river's form that poured its splendor in between two banks bedecked with all the colors our spring days afford, a marvelous spring, the one you might expect. Except this living flood sent sparks abroad to settle on the flowers of either bank like rubies set in gold, as if their heads were dizzy from the perfumes that they drank. They rose again out of the flower beds and plunged back, scintillating rank on rank, into the stream, to be replaced by more that soared from the same ripples where they sank, and so it all continued as before. "The high desire," she said, "that flames within your mind to know just what is happening, delights me more the more it swells to win more space to burn. But now to the first thing you need to do before you can begin to slake your great thirst. First you have to drink from that stream." Thus the sun who ruled my eyes addressed me and continued, "Look and think. The river and the topazes that rise and fly from it and then return to sink, and how the flowers laugh are the forecast and shadow of the truth. They don't fall short of being perfect. It is you, at last, that has the defect. Still less than it ought to be. Your vision is outmatched as yet. No infant that has slept too long could throw itself so suddenly, its sure aim set, towards the milk, as I, who thirsted so to make of my eyes better mirrors still, bent down to where I saw the waters flow, with all the sparkling interchange they spill for our perfecting. When my eyelids' eaves were wet, it seemed that instantly the stream transformed its length to roundness. What deceives, reveals, once done away with, how a dream holds more than we had thought, as people who, having worn masks, when they remove them seem not quite the same as those we thought we knew. For me the sparks and flowers now had changed into a greater festival, in which both courts of heaven clearly stood arranged. Splendor of God, that let me see the rich, high triumph of truth's kingdom, help me tell of what I saw. There is a light that spreads, so wide that its circumference would fall well outside the girdle of the sun. It sheds the sight of their Creator, as He is, on all whose peace depends on seeing Him, for He is with them all, and they are His. And all the flood of light within that rim is made by no more than a single ray, reflected from, with all its wealth and force, the summit of the Primum Mobile. And as a hillside looks down to a course of water at its foot and sees itself, adorned with its spring flowers and its green grass, exactly pictured in that mirrored shelf, I saw above this light one tear surpass another for 1,000 tears. And there were all of us who ever have returned on high. And if the lowest level's share of incandescence that within it burned was so great, what could be the full extent of this rose in its furthest petals? Here the breadth and length did not exhaust my glance, since there was no increase from being near or loss from being far in this extent and quality of joy. For where God's law directly rules His unmixed element, the law of nature can apply no more. Into the yellow everlasting rose, rising and spreading in its serried ranks, exhaling heady perfumes that disclose praise to the sun, extending its deep thanks for a perpetual spring, Beatrice drew me, as one who, silent, still would speak. "Behold," she said, how great the company of these white robes. See, see now, and be told how great the city. See our seats so filled that few souls are still lacking, and in that great chair on which your eyes are held and stilled, by the crown poised over it, there will be sat, before you come to join the nuptial feast, the soul of Henry, who shall be below made emperor, to get Italy released from her wrong course. But she will be too slow to heed him. Ah, too soon deceased, your one hope and the hopes of your fair land, for your blind greed will only be increased, driving the Guelphs to take their senseless stand and break his noble heart. Greed makes you like the hungry infant who drives out his nurse. For at that time a two-faced pope will strike with his forked tongue. Yes, Clement, who will curse Henry in secret while he speaks aloud in praise of him. God will not suffer long that pope in office. Mantled in a shroud, he will go down to share the prize for wrong with Simon Magus. A still deeper place awaits his predecessor, Boniface. Canto 31. The form, then, of the saintly host of Christ was shown to me as being a white rose, a perfect rose, which with his own blood Christ has made his bride. But also there are those, the other host, who flying see and sing the glory of the Lord who holds their love and goodness that has made them everything they are, and there they are at large above. Just like a swarm of bees that first will dive into the flowers and then go back to turn their toil to nectar, treasure of the hive. These ones I watched. For I was here to learn, descend headlong into the mighty flower of many petals, and then reascend to where the love abides in all its power forever, and then, flying without end, they swoop again, their faces living flame, their wings of gold, and for the rest so white, our fresh snow couldn't hope to seem the same. When they again went back down from the height into the bloom, they gave it tier on tier. The peace and order they had gained from how they fanned their sides with wings. Nor did the sheer abundance of their flying marvel now, from height to flower, in any way impede the sight in all its splendor. The divine light penetrates, with instant spread and speed, the universe to every part, in line with what it's worth. Nothing can intercede. Serene and joyous kingdom, thronged with all these people old and new, where love and sight without a break shared one field and no wall. Ah, look upon our tempest, threefold light, sent outward from a single star to fall on everyone in equal measure. Think how the barbarians, born where the bears, great bear and little bear, both wheel and blink, were so reduced to slack mouths and dumb stares when first they saw the mighty works of Rome, the Lateran outsoaring any roof by 10 times that they had ever seen at home. Then think of me, when faced there with the proof of how far I had come, the human plane to the divine, time to eternity, the Florentines to people just and sane. Amazement added to my joy, made me content to hear no sound and to remain silent. And as a pilgrim looks around the temple of his vow refreshed, and hopes to tell again some day of what he found, so I took my eyes upward through the slopes of living light, and I surveyed the ranks, now up, now down, and now around again, through all the faces so evoking thanks for charity. With another's light, and then with light from their own smiles their faces shone, and every move with dignity and grace. Thus I had seen, but not yet lingered on in any part, the structure of that place. And for those points my mind had paused upon, I turned to ask my lady if she'd make them clear to my rekindled eagerness. My expectation, though, was a mistake. Instead of her, I saw I must address an old man, in the radiant attire of that exalted company, his eyes and cheeks suffused with reassuring fire of gracious joy, his aspect kind and wise, he seemed a tender father. I, in haste, said, "Where is she?" And gently he replied, "Beatrice, from her concern you would not waste your longing, sent me down here to your side from my seat. If you'd know how she is placed, look up there, to the third tier from the peak, and you'll see her again, set on the throne her merits suit her for." I did not speak, but lifted up my eyes and saw her where she made herself a crown fit to reflect the everlasting beams. Here in our air, the highest region, thundering unchecked, is not so far from mortal eye, not when the eye is in the deep sea lost, as was Beatrice in glory from my vision then, and yet it made no odds to me, because her image was undimmed as it came down to my eyes, since the air was pure between. Lady, aloft beneath your fitting crown, in whom my hope found strength, and who has been to hell and left her footprints there for my salvation, let me say I recognize such grace and virtue was made actual by your power and goodness. You gave me the prize of loosened bondage, lending all the ways and means at your command. In that same wise, preserve in me, until I end my days, your bounty, so the spirit you made whole may leave the body you were pleased to know. That was my prayer, delivered from the soul. And she, who seemed so far off, smiled. And though she looked at me a while, she turned once more to the eternal fountain. The saint said, "In order that the path which lies before your journey to the end, which now you tread, should be familiar to you and complete, fly with your eyes, and thus prepare your sight through this tall garden, so you're set to meet the radiance divine as you gain height. The Queen of Heaven, who has all my fire of love, will surely grant us every grace, for I am Bernard, her most faithful squire, rewarded with the vision of her face." As some Croatian pilgrim who is shown in Rome the Veronica, the handkerchief that once, when Christ climbed his last hill alone, a woman used to bring him some relief, mopping his brow, will say within his mind, "Lord Jesus Christ, true God, was this you?" Such was I, since Bernard, when with humankind, had known by contemplation how to touch on this peace. "Child of grace," he said, "this state of joy you will not see if you should keep your eyes down here around the entrance gate. You must look up, as far as the most steep of circles, till you see the queen to whom this realm is subject and devoted." I lifted my gaze, and as there is more room for light on the horizon where the sky is touched by sunrise in the morning than there is where the sun sets, just so when my eyes, from the valley where their climb began, attained the mountain top, I saw one part of the extreme edge far outshine the rest of that rim with its light. As at the start of sunrise, we see one place the more blessed with fire, and on each side of that it shades away, just so that peaceful oriflamme, not the French flag for battles and parades, showed brighter in the middle, with a dam to hold it back on either side, and at that middle point I saw, with outspread wings, 1,000 angels, no, far more than that, in festival, each in specific things to do, and in its brightness quite unique, and smiling on their sports and songs, there reigned a beauty, joy to all. If I could speak, as I imagine, yet I'd be constrained to silence on the subject of the least suggestion of her splendor. Bernard saw my eyes on her, from whom he never ceased to draw warmth, and he turned to her once more his own eyes, with a love that made the thrill of my first sight of her more thrilling still. Canto 32. Absorbed in pleasure, that contemplative freely became a teacher and began his lesson. He had holy words to give. "The wound that brought death to the Son of Man, which Mary closed with ointment, was first prized apart and then pierced through by that one there, seated below her feet. You've realized that it is Eve, because she is so fair, and here she is, redeemed. In the third row, below her, Rachel sits with Beatrice, as you can see. Then Sarah, you must know, and then Rebecca. Judith has found peace, and Ruth, great-grandmother to him that so grieved for his sin he didn't sing, but cried, 'Have mercy on me.' Yes, King David. Then you see there, as I named the sanctified, the way they sit below, and then again below, the holy women line by line, down through the rows, all duly ranked from one soft petal to the next. See how they shine. And from the seventh grade, as they have done above, the Hebrew women, rank by rank, divide the tresses of the flower, for they are like a wall, the wall we have to thank for how it parts the sacred stair. The way they looked on faith in Christ is what decides the matter. On the one side, where the flower is in full bloom, and not one space abides, sit those with faith that Christ, in all his power, would one day come. The other side holds those who saw he had. Not all of them as yet are there, so some half-circles of the rows are cut by vacant places, like the set of tears that comes down from the glorious seat of heaven's queen, to constitute one edge of the divide, so downward from the feet of great John comes the other ledge to ledge. He, holy always, braved the wilderness and martyrdom, and then for 2 years, hell, until Christ crucified eased his distress. Below him, reading downward, we can tell these seats were well assigned, for there we see Thomas and Benedict and Augustine and others in their multiplicity. So many of these great ones there have been, all the way down to here. Behold how deep the sacred foresight was, for both aspects of faith shall equally take up the steep slopes of the garden, not as separate sects, but as two halves of one whole. Also note how anywhere below that level grade that cuts the two lines of the upright moat, those have their seats who have not been arrayed on their account, but for their parents' worth, conditions being met. They were absolved from their small bodies, too close to their birth to have a choice, or know what was involved. And this you will yourself deduce from how their faces look, and how their voices sound so childish, if you concentrate your brow to look and listen. I see I astound you with these words, for you are sore perplexed, and in perplexity are silent. Thought, one subtlety criss-crossing with the next, so no clear line emerges as it ought, has made a hard knot you are trapped within. I'll loosen it. Nothing of any sort can exist here, or even can begin subject to chance, which simply finds no place in all this kingdom's breadth, not any more than hunger, thirst, or sorrow. All you face is soundly based upon eternal law. The fit of ring to finger is exact. It follows that all those who hastened here to have their true life are not ranked, in fact, as high and low, however it might appear. The king through whom this realm rests in such love and sheer delight that no desire may dare to do more, making all minds here above in his glad sight, bestows his gracious care according to his wish. The facts fulfill the proof of this, but Scripture tells you, too, that in the womb the twins did not lie still, but fought in anger, just as they would do in later life. Esau and Jacob had their different colorings of head to prove the guiding light that chose how each was clad in hair, chose also how their souls would move from birth to death, not by themselves inspired. It's not the merit of their doings, but the keenness of the vision they acquired in their first instant that sees each one shut into the certain path, by him desired, not them, that leads to a particular rank they hold here. In early times, it was the innocence of their young character, abetted by their parents' faith, gave cause for their salvation, earned by those two things. First age completed, males were circumcised, strength being lent to their unknowing wings solely by that, as if they'd been baptized. But when the age of grace came, innocence was held below, unless it had been blessed with baptism in its full Christian sense. That said, look now on that face you think best resembles Christ, for only its intense white light can show you him. I saw such joy rain down on her, born in the holy minds created for those heights where they deploy their flight, that all the many different kinds of gladness I'd seen up till then had not so held me in suspense and wonder, nor evince such likeness to the Lord. And what that loving spirit who had flown before with his announcement did now was to spread his wings before her and to sing again, Hail Mary, full of grace. On every side, the blessed court sang their response to this divine song, every face filled with the tide of brightness in this canticle of bliss. My saintly father, bearing for my sake the task of stepping down from that sweet place where you by lot eternal rightly take your seat. Give me the name to match the face of that one angel gazing on the eyes of our queen with such rapture. So enthralled, he seems on fire. As you might surmise, I well knew what that cavalier was called, but wished more lessons from the man who drew beauty from Mary as the morning star draws beauty from the sun. He knew I knew, but answered anyway. Because you are still hungry, hear this. He is Gabriel, the herald. Every confidence that can exist, and every courtly ease as well, whether an angel or the soul of man, is found in him, and we would have it so, for he's the very one who brought the palm to earth for Mary, so that she might know the Son of God had sought her inner calm to put the burden on of human flesh. But follow with your eyes as I denote. Some you have seen, but will now see afresh, in their right place. Great nobles, though their coat of arms attests, in this empire of peace, to mercy and to justice. Those two there, whose happiness no blessing could increase, because it is the empress that they share for neighbor, are the two roots, as it were, of this rose. On her left, the father whose rash tasting first instilled in humankind the bitter taste of all they stood to lose through sin, and on her right, the father of our holy church, to whom Christ gave the keys of this resplendent flower and all its love. Beside him sits the one who prophesies in his apocalypse, foretold the grief of Christ's fair bride, one with the lance and nails, John the Evangelist, spurred by belief while still alive to see beyond the veils of his own time. Beside the other rests that leader whose weak, thankless, fickle flock were given manna, though they failed all tests. Opposite Peter in that central block you can see Anna, mother of the queen, so well content to see her daughter. She still keeps her eyes where they have always been while singing her hosannas constantly. The first great family father sits across from Lucy, she who sent your lady down to help you when you were at such a loss. Your brow was not just furrowed with a frown, but beaten to destruction. Since the time is flying now that holds you in your sleep, we should pause to take stock here, as a prime tailor will cut his cloth so as to keep the outlines of a coat within the bounds of what he has to work with. Let's direct our eyes to where the primal love resounds in silent light, so that your intellect may enter, in so far as it's allowed, his mighty fire. But lest, perhaps, you fall short of that aim, recoiling with head bowed, yet still with beating wings in spite of all, still hoping to advance, grace must be won from her who has the power to see you through. So follow me with love while this is done. Lend your heart to my words, for they are true. And what he said next, I'll now say to you. Canto 33. Our Virgin Mother, daughter of your Son, St. Bernard prayed, so low of birth and yet exalted so much more than anyone on earth or in the sky, forever set as goal of the Church Council, you are she who so ennobled human nature's state, its maker deigned to have his majesty made in its making. God's love incarnate, the same fire that first made this flower bloom, the warmth pervading its eternal peace, was kindled once again within your womb. Up here, for all of us, you never cease to be the charitable torch of noon, and down below you are hope's living spring for mortals. You, great lady, late and soon, are so supreme, he would be floundering who sought for grace and did not turn to you. His wish without wings, without everything, despite whatever he might strive to do. Your kind love comforts all who ask, and may often anticipate the asking. Through your goodness, all the good in any way in every creature is combined. You are all mercy, pity, bounty, joined in one. This man, who comes to see you from so far below, the sky has never known the sun in that pit of the universe, has seen the spirits each and all. Now, by your grace, He seeks the power to say his eyes have been still higher, even to the final place of his salvation. Never for my own great vision did I burn as now I burn for his, but now I pray for him alone, that your prayers, prayers divine, will in their turn divest him of his every mortal cloud, so that the joy supreme may be disclosed to him. My queen, to whom all is allowed, I pray that if you do what I've proposed, you afterwards keep his affections pure, the vision splendid having been achieved, that you will guard him thenceforth to ensure by human impulse he is not deceived and led astray again. But now see how Beatrice and all the others clap their hands. It must be for my prayer. The Queen's eyes now made clear to us how well she understands and cherishes our prayers. The eyes revered and loved by God beheld her courtier for long enough to prove his prayers endeared him further to her, but then went elsewhere, towards the light eternal, where no gaze other than hers so deeply penetrates, as I, my own desires in their last phase, where steady craving finally abates, already did what Bernard asked me to by signing with a smile. I looked up. More and more my sight, becoming pure and true, was entering the beam of that high store of light, itself true. From that moment on, my vision outsoared all our powers of speech, which quail at such a sight and then are gone, and memory fails, the task beyond its reach. And he who sees all in a dream, but when he wakes, finds just the passion has remained in mind, and all the rest will not again come back to him, a spectacle retained only in feeling, such am I. It fades, my vision, and yet still within my heart, the sweetness that was born from it cascades in drops, a distillation, the last part to melt, just as the snowdrift in the sun blurs outlines. And the Sibyl's oracle that she wrote on the leaves when she was done was lost along the wind. Ah, if not all, give me at least a little, light supreme. You that are raised above all mortal thought, of how you looked, so I might give a gleam, and lend my tongue the power to report, of your great glory for those yet to come. For if it comes back to my memory, at least in part, and some part of the sum lives in these lines, then so much more will be your triumph realized. I think that by the sharpness that I suffered from the force of that ray's vividness, the chance was high, my eyesight, had it been turned from that course, would have been dazzled. Such, indeed, was why I dared, I now recall, to face the light straight on, so long that all my sight was spent upon it. In its depths I saw, packed tight, bound in one book by love, all that is sent abroad throughout the universe as leaves torn out and scattered, single, separate things, and any kind of quality that cleaves to them and enters, and whatever brings a partial framework to some area of all that multiplicity. But here, all things and links that ever were and are were fused together so they might appear to me as one pure light. I know I saw the universal form of this intact complexity, because my joy, the more I tell of it, expands to mark the act of speaking. Thus a single moment holds me in a trance far deeper than those 5 and 20 centuries have kept their folds around King Neptune, who must always strive to comprehend what crossed his upward glance, the shadow of the Argo. Thus my mind, held fast, gazed fixedly and not askance, by thoughts rekindled of what it might find plumbing the crucible of happenstance. For at that light, no man can turn aside, not by consent, to see aught else. The good, the object of the will and our best guide, is gathered into it, and nothing could exist apart from it and not be called defective, for perfection can be sought only where all perfections are installed, in that light. But my speech must now fall short, even of what I can remember still. an infant's tongue still bathing at the breast, could say more. As my eyes yet drank their fill of that light, things did not remain at rest. Not that the light did not remain the same. It always had one aspect as before, but as my sight in gazing at the flame gained strength, the single aspect the light wore was changing in my eyes as I was changed. In that high flame's deep and unblemished field, three circles of three colors were arranged, all of the same extent. One seemed to yield its luster, as a pair of rainbows may, to the other, and the third was made of fire, breathed forth by the first two. What can I say? Was this the trinity of my desire, or was it not? Alas, how scant is speech, failing my concept by so very much! And what I saw, that concept failed to reach by such a distance, was so out of touch. To call it little scarcely would suffice. Eternal light, known to yourself alone, knowing yourself alone once, twice, and thrice, in loving company yet on your own, the self-renewing well of paradise, forever. All the circling thus unloosed reflected light, which my eyes dwelt upon, and saw the way those swirling tints produced a painted likeness that my eyes fixed on completely. For that likeness was of us. Like the geometer who sets his soul to square the circle and will not discuss one thing besides, and yet, although the whole of what he knows is poured into the task, can't find the necessary principle, just so was I when faced with that strange mask. How was the image fitted to the full activity within the circle? Why should it be placed there? But my wings were not sufficient. It took faith's flash to supply my mind with that sharp blow by which it got its wish. Imagination, there on high, too high to breathe free after such a climb, had lost its power. But now, just like a wheel that spins so evenly it measures time by space, the deepest wish that I could feel and all my will were turning with the love that moves the sun and all the stars above.
This has been an Audible Inc. production of The Divine Comedy, written by Dante Alighieri and translated by Clive James. Narrated by Eduardo Ballerini. Producer, Mike Charzik. Copyright 2013 by Clive James. Production copyright 2013 by Audible Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.